Last time we met, Krishna's peace initiative had failed, and it was agreed that the battle would commence between the two parties, Pandavas and Kauravas, within a few days. So now they are all mustering their forces, ready to march out. So let's go back to where the battle had actually finished. Ashwatthama had foully massacred the remaining of the forces in the night battle. He'd been cursed by Krishna for 3,000 years wandering in the wilderness, and Draupadi had forgiven him for killing all her five sons, having taken literally his diadem, his stone of life, from him. So really, in many ways, he was almost like a wandering corpse. Yudhishthira had led his brothers down to the banks of the Ganges, where servants were putting the pyres together for the burning of the bodies of the five sons. And they themselves would be entering into the Ganges with the prayers and offering for the souls, the passage of the souls of their sons. Back at Hastinapura, the capital, the city of the elephant, the old blind king had collapsed several times on the news of the defeat of his army and the death of all his sons. He seemed to be constantly lamenting over his fate. He now had no wealth or riches. He had no sons. Who was to look after him? And he kept saying how that Duryodhana's death was karma or fate. Quite a while, Vidura would talk to him and gave him logic that he shouldn't actually grieve in any way, because as a Kshatriya, all these great warriors had gone to heaven, and they'd gone to the highest heaven within their caste. He also threatened to kill himself. And at that, Vyasa, his father, the great seer, who'd been around in the palace there, came to him, and he gives us a glimpse once again of the big picture in relation to this battle. Vyasa said that there'd been a meeting fairly recently at Indra's court, and he was present there. He was invited there. There was Narada there and a number of the great seers, the great rishis, and the meeting had been formed again because Mother Earth, remember, she'd complained that she was completely overburdened by the unrighteous. And in effect, she was saying, in a very nice way, because Lord Vishnu's meeting, that could something be done quickly, because it was getting worse and worse. So Vishnu said that, in fact, Dhritarashtra's eldest son, Duryodhana, would be the instrument for clearing the earth of its unrighteous inhabitants. So what Vyasa was saying, that in fact, all that had happened, all the destruction of the millions of men, was preordained. Anyway, Vyasa left, and the blind king was bemoaning his fate, and once or twice he fainted, and Sanjaya had to lift him up and flick water over him. Vidura went off actually on pilgrimage, which left really Sanjaya to give him all, to try and comfort him. And Sanjaya wasn't, you know, he talked straight. He said, no, all this had happened because of you, because you actually didn't control your evil-minded son. Anyway, noon came. It was coming up to about noon, midday, and Dhritarashtra asked for Gandhari, his wife, and that all the women would accompany him, and they would go down to the battlefield in preparation for the burning of the dead. Servants arranged that all the women would be put into chariots and carriages and taken down there. They were in an awful mess. There was a constant wailing and weeping. They were disheveled. Their hair was all over the place. A very, very sad sight. The women, several thousand of them, led by Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya, headed off down to the battlefield. After about a mile or so, they came across Kripa and Vikarna, and they explained what had happened, that in fact the five Draupadi sons were dead, and they told Gandhari how in fact all her sons, and to the blind king as well, of course, had died very nobly. And they said they were now retreating, and because they knew the Pandavas would be after them. So they sought leave of Dhritarashtra that they could actually go home, and he dismissed them and said that this is what they should do. Meanwhile, Yudhishthira had heard that Dhritarashtra was coming with the women down to the battlefield. And so therefore he said that they should go actually and meet Dhritarashtra. And as they proceeded towards Dhritarashtra, they came across the women. You could see, you could hear the weeping and then the crying and the screaming all from ages away. Anyway, as he approached, as Yudhishthira approached, all the women circled around him, the thousands involved, and they were actually pretty forthright with him. You know, they said, well, what dharma is this that you've led all our menfolk into this battle and they're all killed? And what is the use now of having a kingdom? And Abhimanyu and the five Draupadi sons are dead. That they asked him, what was on your mind when you actually killed Bhishma and Drona and so on? And they weren't holding back much, you know, they were pretty sharp mouth. Anyway, Yudhishthira just walked straight through them towards Dhritarashtra. In front of him, he bowed at his feet, giving his name, and all the other brothers did the same. Well, with some difficulty, the old blind king did acknowledge and give a blessing to Yudhishthira. But when Bhima came, it was a different matter. Remember, as Bhima, with a foul blow, had killed his eldest and much beloved son. Krishna knew there were going to be problems here, so he'd arranged for a metal statue that had been made of Bhima, which it is said Duryodhana used to practice his mace on. He arranged it to be brought, and Bhima was just about to go up to embrace the blind king, he tapped him on the shoulder and signaled to him to push over, keep away, and he had the statue put in front of Dhritarashtra. Well, the blind king, he was pretty mad. And what he did, he's very powerful, very, very strong. He actually did an enormous bear hug around the statue and he crushed it. And when he did so, there's blood all over him because, you know, it was enormous force he had. And he fell to the ground in a faint. He thought he'd actually killed Bhima. But he hadn't, so the servants took him down to the Ganges and all the blood was over him, cleared him up. And now the fact that he'd been angry, he'd got it off his chest. And then he was very embarrassed and felt shame. And he said, you know, well, now this has happened. I'm very remorseful of this. Please bring Bhima here, bring Arjuna here and let me embrace them. Having broken the ice, so to speak, in the relationships of the two come together, because Yudhishthira was very subservient to him, and, you know, he was very, the blind king could see it had affected Yudhishthira very badly, the loss of this enormous ice, and there was just some discussion. But then Dhritarashtra said, go and see Gandhari. Well, fortunately, Vyasa was there, and he knew jolly well what was going on too, because Gandhari, again, rather like Dhritarashtra, very angry at the death of all her sons. And she, you know, when she actually blessed Duryodhana before the battle, remember how she'd had him, got him to strip all his clothes off, and with her eyes, she went right over his body to reinforce the strength of his body against weapons and so forth. She'd really diminished most of the powers that she'd gained through austerities and through her oneness husband by putting a blindfold and living in a blind state all the time. But she did have some of these powers left, and Vyasa knew this, and he knew jolly well that she was going to curse or make problems for when the Pandavas came. So he went up to her and said, you don't do this. You actually don't curse when the Pandavas come to you. And she did say she knew very well how bad the actual Duryodhana and brothers had been towards the Pandavas, how they'd really, in effect, made a tortured existence for them. So she said, yes, you know, I understand this, and I understand actually what has happened, but nevertheless, Bhima killed my son with a foul blow. Well, Yudhishthira came in front of her, and he was really very subservient and said to her, curse me, please curse me, mother. I know I've done wrong with all the killing of all your sons and so forth. And he said, you know, I quite understand, I deserve whatever you want to give me, please give it to him. So she was angry, but she did actually control herself. But what she did, she lifted slightly the bandage around her eyes so she could just see the well manicured toenails of Yudhishthira's feet. And with the anger from her eyes, she could just see a little bit like that, they actually burnt she burnt the finger, the nails, the toenails, so they were now brown coloured. When she did that, Arjuna was fairly nearby with Krishna. He quickly nipped behind Krishna to get away from her. Next, Bhima came, and she said to him, "Bhima, you've been most inhuman, drinking the blood of Dushasana as you did." Bhima wasn't having any of it. He was tactful, but he wasn't going to be browbeaten at all. And he said, I did drink the blood of Dushasana. I'd swore I'd do that when he tried to disrobe Draupadi at the dicing game. But anyway, the blood didn't go past my teeth. And he pointed out he'd taken a vow at the time that he would do this. And if he hadn't kept the vow, people would have looked upon him and said that he was a liar, and that would compromise his status as a warrior. With the foul blow to Duryodhana, he said that in actual fact, he had to do that. He had to kill Duryodhana by this foul blow, otherwise it wouldn't be possible, and they would not win the war. But he didn't tell her that in fact he killed Duryodhana this way because Krishna told him to do so. He did say, "You know, O Gandhari, you shouldn't blame me for this. If your son had been checked earlier on, there would have been no war, there would have been no killing." So Gandhari just wept silently, shaking with grief, and her maidservants came to support her, and finally she said to Bhima, "Could you not have left at least one son for me to look after me? How will we survive without the support of a son?" Well, on that sad note, I must leave. If you have been listening, thanks very much.